The following KOPN podcast is made possible by the generous donations of listeners like you. Please consider a donation to listener-supported community radio, KOPN. You can donate securely on our website at kopn.org. Now at the KOPN News at 5 in the studio, we have Rich Winkle and Janelle Miranda, and they're going to talk about birthing issues, right?
Children's issues.
Children's issues.
Children's issues and... The new human race.
Mm-hmm. So what specifically are we talking about here?
We're talking about really basic issues of imprinting. Mm-hmm. Newborn babies imprint everything that happens to them. And this basic fact, which is widely recognized in the animal kingdom, seems to have... it's not being recognized by obstetrical medicine.
So we're talking specifically about what happens, is this even before birth, or is this
eventually,
what happens in...
Eventually, we're going to talk about that on, mm-hmm. on this weekly show. Today, this is our first show, sort of a half show, and we are sort of tagging on to last week's International Breastfeeding Week celebration that's been pretty big in the news, mm-hmm. Because It's happening at the same time that all this talk about the healthcare reform is going on. And often what's missing in any of these discussions is what's really the impact of medical care and unnecessary medical care or inappropriate medical care, medical mistakes. And it rarely does it get talked about in birth,
mm-hmm.
the high cesarean rate, the issues of attachment breaks with the mother and the baby. So tonight we're going to interview a man from Canada, mm-hmm. who has been researching for 6 years about breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And so we're starting with breastfeeding.
Okay.
And then we'd like to continue talking about how it is in our society that we need to make a new human race. We need to create a human race that is gentle and kind, mm. and connected, because we have to survive. You know, we can't change unless we survive, and we can't survive unless we change. I don't remember who said that. But we are going to use this news hour to talk about what's going on in the politics and in the monetary world and in the news, and how that relates to what does a human being really need? Mm. What does a family really need?
Yeah.
What do children really need? Children are sort of our last consideration.
Right.
And it begins at birth.
They can't speak for themselves. I mean, so much of what we're going to be talking about is stuff that has been being discovered on an ongoing basis, even now. Although it's basically going back to a mother's intuition,
mm-hmm.
you know, before child rearing was taken over by industrial medicine.
So, Janelle, you've been involved. You are sort of interested in the whole birthing process. You're working on a film right now, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
About that whole process of, and it's called Behind the Glass?
The other side of the glass.
The other side of the glass. I always get that wrong.
It's a lot of people do that.
Yeah. And so I know that we're talking about breastfeeding specifically here, but in this film you talk about how the whole birthing process has really become mechanized.
Right. And the basis of the film, again, is about this is a human being coming, mm-hmm. from wherever we come from, whatever your beliefs are, if you think we're a soul or not, we come in on, yeah. this planet through a woman,
mm-hmm.
through the sperm and the egg uniting. There's no way around that yet.
Right.
Science has not done that yet. So this is a human being coming, mm-hmm. in, and it's about how we do that. And there's science, and that's what we're going to start covering very quickly and next Monday in depth, is the science behind what happens in those moments of leaving the mother's womb,
mm-hmm.
and coming into this world, and whether or not we are placed on her breast and allowed to breastfeed and look into her eyes, or if we're slapped around, scrubbed, and whisked away,
mm-hmm.
and have a lot of interventions that don't need to be done right then. They're all systemic based interventions that really don't need to be done in that moment. What's really critical is the that moment. In fact, the part one of the film is called His Moment of Awe, because there's a moment, there's a time, up to 3 hours, which science shows us is critical for creating the connection between the mother and the father, which is critical for the human being throughout their lifetime.
Yeah. Okay, so, Rich, what is your involvement with all this?
Oh, I first became aware, I guess, of medicine's inhumanity to human babies several years ago when I started researching the issue of circumcision. Boy, there's a lot to cover in this one topic. But...
Okay, so well, I think what we're going to do now, we're going to probably take a, I'm going to make a phone call to get in touch with a guest, and we're going to do while we do that another quick musical interlude, and we'll get that taken care of. You're listening to the KOPN News at 5.
We're back. Are you on the air, Colin?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Colin. I'd like to introduce Colin Knopf, who is from Canada. And I told the viewers a little bit about you before. Colin is also the... You'll have to tell me the name of your invention again.
It's the Cuddle Carrier.
The Cuddle Carrier. And you could probably tell us more about that, but... That was something that Colin developed as a stay-at-home parent, and it's another little gadget to help you carry and support your child, which is really important. And we only have about 20 minutes today, but I wanted to take this time to introduce you so that we could have a full hour next Monday. And Colin has been doing years of research on breastfeeding and the impact of breastfeeding on humanity. And so what I wanted to briefly talk about today with you and Rich is to ask you, you know, what does breastfeeding have to do with some of the current issues that we are facing today, and in particular the issues in the news with the healthcare reform and the banking situation? What's going on with breastfeeding?
Well, it's become a huge area of interest of late, which is a great thing. A lot more families are understanding the value of it and moving towards that and away from formula, pacifiers, bottles, and all the other things that we've discovered create a lot of harm.
A lot of harm to our...
To our families, to our economy, to our health. It's myriad what it does. Just some of the simple things, like some of the facts. 1 in 4 children in North America have rubber grommets installed in their eardrums to drain fluid out of their ears from cutaneous media, which is terrible earaches. That's a direct result of not breastfeeding and a result of bottle feeding. It's never really positioned that way. Our medical industry doesn't like to tell everything the way it is. They pass it through a funnel of Latin. and it comes out as a whole different product. Just looking at the dentist industry, look around and see how many children are walking around with metal in their mouths. My daughter was really upset because she was the only one in the class that didn't have braces. She started fashioning her own out of paper clips. And I'm thinking, what's happening to our world when the results and consequences of poor health becomes the fashion statement and the norm?
Wow, so you've really brought up some topics that we don't usually talk about when we're talking about breastfeeding. I know, you know, we've talked about the International Breastfeeding Week last week, and, you know, it's still really focusing on whether or not it's, you know, the focus is on whether or not it really is the best for the baby, and does a woman have a right to not breastfeed? But you're really talking about some bigger issues.
Janelle, to me, I'm not a male chauvinist. I have great empathy for women. Having been a stay-at-home parent, I can understand and appreciate the role they have in our world, which is immense, which they never get honored for. But that's another story. I don't believe that women should be forced into anything without a choice. However, based on the research and the knowledge I have gained over the last 6 years, to me, it's cut, it's dried, it's black, and it's white. There is no choice. Breastfeeding is the only possible way to sustain health. When we get in the middle between mother and baby in our medical model of industrialized birth, we set both of them up for difficulty breastfeeding, and it almost looks like it's an act of decision. It's not. It's just unfortunate that we don't train a lot of our medical people. Well, we just don't do it. First of all, they're too busy to take the time trying to save all the sickness that's out there, when in fact, I kind of liken it to that story about all these people showing up in the river drowning, and everybody keeps throwing them life jackets. And it gets really expensive throwing them all these life jackets. And finally somebody goes upstream and says, hey, there's a hole in the bridge. Well, we got to go upstream and find out where that hole is and fix the hole so we can stop spending all this money on life jackets, because we don't need to be doing that. If we birthed as nature has intended, all the biochemistry, all the endocrinology, all of that works hand in glove between the mother and the baby. The child gets what they need, all their survival needs are met, and the result of that is a huge saving in cash, a huge saving in taxes, a huge savings in our medical costs and health care. And the best part is, you raise healthy, happy children. Now, I don't believe for a minute women should be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. I don't think that's their only choice. But if you choose to have children, then you're going to have to take an active role in that. And to me, breastfeeding is just the only choice. Infant formula has been sold so well with such great marketing. There's better doctors of spin than there are doctors, I think, sometimes. And they're not telling the whole story. And they hide the detriment that comes from all our modern conveniences that allow women to be free of their children. This all goes back to Nestle back in the 18th century. We needed cheap labor to run the linen mills, and women, unfortunately, at that time were extremely repressed. So we said, hey, you can have bin money, and you can get out of the house, because we need cheap labor. Well, of course, it was never sold that way. And all of a sudden, we started concocting corn syrup and cream and calling it breast milk, which, of course, it wasn't. And we've been paying the price ever since.
So you bring up an important point about there's a huge polarity where we have a woman's right to make choices and to breastfeed or not. But then we have a human being's right to be breastfed and to have this full nutrition and this full emotional, spiritual, psychological connection with the mother.
Again, I understand the need for choice, but we've said, you know what, the only way to move successfully and survive is to increase our intelligence and our knowledge. So we all of a sudden legislate that you must go to school, because that's the only way we're going to succeed as a species and a nation. Well, in my estimation, breastfeeding is in the same ballpark. It's not really a choice at all. We've been told it's a choice. We've been presented the marketing to make it look like a choice. It's not a choice.
Well, it really speaks about how the lack of resources that prevent women from being able to breastfeed a baby. I mean, there'll be a lot of people out there saying, you know, I tried and I couldn't.
Well, can I address that?
Sure.
Janelle, that to me is the whole crux of the problem. We take women in our medical model of industrial birth, and we birth in a hospital. 98% of births take place in a hospital. 90% of mothers meet their baby for the first time in life, the most vitally important window of opportunity to create this loving bond that is not only a spiritual, a psychological, but it's a physical thing that has to be met. And unfortunately, 3 out of 10, or 1 out of 3 children is sent away to a sensory deprivation chamber, a.k.a. an incubator, while they take mom and reupholster and stitch her up. And if you talk to women, they've been sold such a great bill of goods that they all believe that they had to have a C-section. There was something wrong with them. And the problem is not with our women. The problem is with our usurping of control, our disaster capitalism. We take women in their most vulnerable time of life, and we throw things like failure to progress at them, which is a natural consequence of having a child born in a situation where the mother's psyche is not comfortable. And she's not even aware of the subconscious thoughts that go on because of the primitive brain. The primitive brain is saying, you know what? I think I can smell the saber-toothed tiger. It's time to get back to the cave. Shut your labor down. We can't birth here. And that's what happens when you enter the swinging doors of a hospital. And we throw this at women and say, failure. Well, guess what? There you have a 24-year-old prima gravida delivering her first child. She's already extremely sensitive, upset, concerned, and worried. And then we say, you're incompetent. And she's thinking, you know what? Everybody should be able to do this. It's what women have been doing for centuries. And I'm incompetent. I can't do it. I'm a failure. Then what do? We throw them over to somebody afterwards and fill them full of postpartum pills. It's a sick and saddening situation, and I'm not sure where it stems from, but I know that our policymakers have to start looking very closely and very carefully at the research that we've already paid for as taxpayers that says a home birth, or at least a midwife birth within a home setting, is the only place that women can feel comfortable and do the job that they have been intended to do through nature. When we step in and muddy the waters with fetal monitors, cervical dilating monitors, blood pressure cuffs, IV drips, forcing them to not eat because we just know that they're going to have a C-section, you know, it's like all the airbags we put in our cars, all the safety sensors we put in our cars. We know we're going to need them because guess what? We're selling cell phones. it's a very collusive problem. Somebody's making a lot of money and somebody's paying for it.
Hi, Colin. This is Rich Winkle.
Hi, Rich.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm steamed, and I'm sorry that I'm dominating the conversation.
No, we love it.
You're just excellent. And
we're in here silently cheering.
Yes. It's amazing how your thoughts parallel ours in so many ways. It seems like the major portions of the world are waking up to this spectrum of issues. I think it's interesting. It shouldn't be overlooked that there's a lot of conflicts of interest in medicine, which, you know, consciously or unconsciously tend to create these situations where medical interference creates the need for further medical interference, and that's certainly epitomized in...
It's self-fulfilling.
Yes, yes.
It's a pension plan for professionals.
it's so destructive.
Did you say intentional?
Oh, yeah, yes, definitely intentional. It's a pension plan for professionals. I don't believe it's intentional. You know what I believe? I believe our poor doctors are so busy mending all the problems that we have created through our medical model of birth, our asthmatics, our psychological syndromes that are manifest as a result of that broken bond, that lack of love. I mean, even our consumption. Now, this is theory here. This is not fact. But my very considered opinion and theory on this is we have a huge hole in our heart, and we keep stuffing it with stuff. That is what feeds our consumerism. If we had healthy, happy people, they wouldn't spend their time in a mall. And if they don't spend their time in the mall, how the hell are we going to keep the economy turning?
So there's a big connection between how we birth our babies and the economy.
Everything goes back to our first day on the planet.
Yes.
Right. And I say that in every avenue. It doesn't take too much intelligence to look at it and start to sort through the problems and see where it all funnels to that one point.
Well, we three see it.
The aggression, the violence that we have. I mean, think about it for a minute. If one out of every third baby in North America meets its mother at the most important and vital time in its life, drugged, and mother's drugged, but before that, it meets a scalpel. And then it can't even see the light of day because its eyes are awash in its mother's blood. Now, after a soothing, warm, comfortable existence for 9 months, feeling perfectly protected and safe because the mother and the father have taken the care to manage that environment for the baby, then they enter the hospital and they're brutalized. My son was born with a scar above his eye. Unfortunately, I didn't know then what I know now. His mother had amniocentesis, and I'm just thanking God it wasn't his eye. Our interventions create the problems. All the ultrasounds that we recommend, ultrasound is what makes your microwave work. But because the temperature isn't so high that we can actually quantify the damage that's been done to the brain or the cell structure, we say, "Oh, it doesn't create any harm."
So can we have a few minutes before we have to go? It's gone very quickly, and I'm really looking forward to talking to you again next week. Are you going to be able to keep up your steam?
You know what? I've had this steam for 6 years. I was mad and I was angry at our medical community, and now I actually feel sorry for them. The poor souls are overworked and undereducated.
So you have a piece on YouTube that talks about the shock doctrine and related to birth, and so that's what we'd like to talk about next week. So could we transition? Could you give us a transition from talking about the breastfeeding and maybe give us some hope? I always like to end when I talk about this with people and birth trauma and all these things that you're talking about. I like to end with some hope about what can we do.
Oh, there is so much hope. Well, here's the good news. The good news is midwives have become a much more important fixture in the medical community. For centuries, they've been denigrated as witches and God knows what else, weird women, because of the hidden agendas that other people had. But now we're starting to realize that that is the oldest profession. That is what makes our world possible. And we've got to go back to it. And now midwives are appearing in great numbers, even against the resistance of the ACOG, the Association of the Obstetric Group. They're starting to make a huge comeback, and women are asking for them because women are becoming better educated and understanding. They don't see the gods in green as gods anymore. They see them as fallible individuals. When we start to realize that iatrogenesis is one of the biggest diseases we have on the planet, and that's Latin for doctor-induced problems, death, and sickness, we start to realize they're human beings, and they're overworked, and they're tired, and They're not getting the education.
Well, there are also people that are wounded. Most of us walking around today on the planet, I would say a good 80 to 95% of us were born with drugs or induced, and we experience the medical birth. So our brain is imprinted to believe that they are the gods. And that's what I'd like to talk about next week.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I blew your question about shock doctrine. Shock doctrine is a great book by a young woman in Toronto here called Naomi Klein, and she talks about disaster capitalism, and it enters every facet of our economy. And it just twigged me one day after reading the book. Well, that's exactly what a medical industrial birth is. It's disaster capitalism. We take women, we strip them of their clothing, give them a gown with a vacant back on it, so that they're stuck in a bed. Then we tether them with an IV and all the monitors, and we take complete control of their lives, which is what she talks about in the book, so that we can get an economic payback.
And so next week we'll be able to talk about that. That's not exactly as hopeful as I wanted to end, but
okay.
You know what
midwives are going to change that, and this kind of discussion is going to change that, because when people understand and appreciate and know what they're capable of, they will change. Can I end the program with this one thought?
Yes, you can.
Go ahead.
What we don't know, and I have just recently learned, is we're all mammals. Actually, we knew that. And mammals can get from the birth canal to the teat totally on their own.
Yep.
Humans are just as capable, and in many cultures they do, and those are the cultures that have peace and they have health.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to seeing you next week.
All right. Thank you.
Take care, Colin.
Take care.
Bye-bye.